us from the El Pacifico in Southern California, digitally casting to all corners of the earth. People in Asia, people in, I don't even want to. Yeah. It's the Phil Henry Show.
No, you don't want it. We have people who listen to us in those places. I don't know how many, but thank you, General.
I was trying to make it sound big.
Yeah, it sounds big, but I mean, you know.
You know what? So most of our audience in the United States, but to anybody listening to us elsewhere, we love you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being a subscriber. I know it's pronounced.
Yeah, subscriber. We have enough idiots listening to your program, Phil. We don't need them walking around and saying subscriber. And when someone asks them, they say, well, I heard it on the Phil Henry Show, and they've got one of those dead stares, like the dead doll's eyes, drool.
Yeah. Okay, well, we wouldn't want you to do that. So it's pronounced,
yeah,
subscribe. I just thought I'd see what you do. All right, so welcome. And today on the Phil Henry Show, we have in-studio guests. We have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, along with Sub-Commander Daley Gleason. Is that your name, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, and Jay is with us. And Jay, how are you?
We're doing real good, Phil. Thanks for the invite.
Later, we'll be on the phone with Steve Bozell, who has apparently changed his stage name. You know about this, bud?
Yeah, he's changed his stage name to Jet Del Donna. You know?
What in the hell? All right, now, one of the things I want to make sure of, General, is that you're not jumping all over people here today, okay? I know that you have your issues with Mr. Santos.
Yeah, one thing I want to say, Phil, is I understand that General Shaw is not a big fan of mine, but if I have to take unending loads of stuff from him, we might as well just get up and leave.
I'll listen to what you have to say, Santos. Don't worry about it.
And it is, you know, Brigadier Admiral, if you wouldn't mind.
I'll listen to what you have to say, Brigadier Admiral. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Also, Daley Gleason with us. He's a sub-commander.
All right, Sub-Commander Gleason, how are you?
I said already that I'm okay.
Yeah, he already said he's okay.
So, all right, I'm sorry about that. The reason why we have you on here, Jay, is because you have brought to our attention some research that you guys have acted on, and you are out at the Chow Chow Mall there in Glendale, right?
We went to a lot of different malls. We were up and down the in the San Gabriel Valley, went down to South Bay, and we were at malls just in front of Story. We're at Chow Chow, yeah. We were at the Godzilla Mall in Glendale, or excuse me, the Godzilla Mall down Torrance. And
what is the Godzilla? I've never heard of these places. These are new malls?
Yeah. I thought you're
a little bit nervous. Here's some water.
Thank you.
Here's some water.
I got it, Sub-Commander Gleason. I thought maybe you'd heard about the Godzilla Mall. It's under construction. The DiBartolo family.
Oh, the DiBartolos, yes.
Yeah, I think they were behind it. But anyway, we were there a lot of different places, and we were interdicting and doing preventative measures based upon this bit of research and that's what we do. And I think that's what sets the Citizens Auxiliary Police apart from most law enforcement.
When you say law enforcement, no, I just want to ask this question, Mr. Santos, because as you know, there was a very pivotal court case in Georgia having to do with citizens' arrest and the misunderstanding of that.
And we totally, I understand, and don't throw me in with those idiots. Don't lump me in with those idiots, okay?
All right.
We understand the parameters of citizens' arrest. What we do is, for instance, in our when we are trying to check people's vaccination card, we're trying to do COVID control, and Sub-Commander Gleason can tell you more about that.
Sub-Commander, yeah, well, we'll ask people, do you have a vax card? And if they say it's none of your business, we'll say, would you just flash it at us, you know?
Right, so I'll take it from here, Sub-Commander. So what we do is we'll say, you know, you don't have to show it. Just kind of take it out and just flash it and put it back.
Take what out and flash it?
Hey, General, come on, man.
General, you heard what Phil said. All right, sorry.
Yeah, see, I got 1 foot out the door already.
Yes, sir.
So we take it out and I'm not talking. God damn, man.
Sir, Mr. Shaw, it's General Shaw, Sub-Commander. We're not talking about our penises. Okay, I didn't.
Wait a minute. Everybody just calm down. Yeah, see, Sub-Commander Gleason, you're taking a bay. Don't take a bay.
Don't take a bay?
Don't take the bay.
Don't take the bait.
Oh.
Don't take the bait.
I feel for you, Sub-Commander Gleason, having to listen to this guy drool his way through the orders every morning. General, would you mind stepping out into the kitchen for the remainder of this segment?
Are you bullsh... General! All right.
Thank you very much, Phil. Appreciate it. Because he's either he's going to leave or I was going to leave.
All right. Well, General Shaw is one of our very valued, valued members of the panel. We love and respect him, but I understand that the two of you have this contention. So let's just continue. So, Sub-Commander Gleason, you're checking people's vaccination cards?
Yes, we do. And we'll ask people, can we see your vax card? Now, most people will say we don't have the authority. Police officers don't have the authority, you know.
That's absolutely correct. No police officer, you know.
You call them cops.
A lot of times we do because a lot of them, they don't have no respect for me, nor do they have no respect for Sub-Commander Gleason or any of our sub-commanders, so I should have no respect for them, you know?
What do you mean no respect?
I mean, why should I have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, so you guys have this mutual disrespect with police, which probably makes your, whatever it is you guys are trying to do, much tougher.
Whatever it is we're trying to do.
What makes you guys try to protect the public your way much tougher? Wouldn't you think it'd be easier? Look, I don't want to get into that. I just want to get down to the, and I don't even want to talk about vax cards. You're talking about people have this gum disease story.
Yeah, this is a story that essentially is a report in Nature magazine. I think it's also in Live Science. Basically, it says that poor dental health may also lead to poor mental health.
Right here.
I got it, Sub-Commander Gleason.
Yeah, it's poor dental health right here.
I got it. A new study reveals researchers from the University of Birmingham say developing gum disease and tooth issues can also increase a person's risk of suffering from depression and anxiety. Now, this is at University of Birmingham, which I think is in either Birmingham, Alabama, or it's Birmingham, England. But either way, the breadth in both those places has got to be staggering.
Why do you say that?
Yes, why do you say that?
Well, first of all, in England, they don't have the same kind of dental care that we have in America. In Alabama, even though they know about good dental care, I don't know that they...
No, it's not fair, but that's the way, that's our...
Sub-Commander Gleason, I will articulate the standard policies of Citizens Auxiliary Police. Then I ask you about specific application.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What, General?
Listen, I promise, I really want to be involved in this. I promise, Jay, I will be polite. I will ask tough questions, but I'll be polite.
I mean, all right, come on in.
I'm sorry.
All right, just, General, you know what we're talking about here.
Still, I don't need the personal insults, you know, about me pulling out and, you know.
All right, I'm sorry, you're right. That's, but I do have a question. If you're checking people's oral hygiene?
That is correct, yes.
So how do you do that?
Well, I'm going to finish what I started saying. I know that you're listening in the kitchen there. What we do, and Sub-Commander Gleason, now you can speak to what it is you do. Well, what do you do?
We set up outside the Chow Chow Mall at the Godzilla Mall 2 and showed people the article. We said, have you seen this article from Nation and World magazine? It was on the internet and everything. And they'll say, no, it says here that if you have poor hygiene, and as we tell them, I get closer to them so that when they respond, we can get a whiff of their breath.
Right. And so, and
is that a fact? So you're getting closer to them. Maybe they can smell your breath.
Well, okay. But I'm eating Clorets. I'm eating Tic-Tacs.
Tic-Tacs.
I've brushed into my teeth. My breath is good.
You know, if you don't mind, seriously, could I smell your breath right now?
Well, I've had a couple of cups of coffee.
That wouldn't be fair, General, because he's not out doing preventative measures at the Godzilla Mall or down Chow Chow Mall. So you've had what?
I've had a couple of cups of coffee. I'm a very big blue cheese fan, so I smoked a cigar.
Okay, never mind, Jesus. All right, so let's just say that your breath is wonderful as you get closer to these people that you're talking to at the mall, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And you tell them about this article.
Yeah, so I tell them about the article in a Nation World magazine.
Now, where is this? Can I find this online?
Yes, yeah, right here. It is...
Okay, so this is from studyfinds.org. This is from the KTLA app.
That's correct, yeah, for KTLA Morning News.
KTLA Channel 5 Los Angeles. Okay. Poor dental health may also lead to poor mental health. A study... Got it.
Right.
Yeah, and so... I'll say to them, have you seen this? What do you think? And most people will stop and say, oh, yeah. And that's the first words, really? And I'll try to get a whiff.
Subcommander Gleason, I just wanted to, we instruct the subcommanders to get, no, don't stick your nose right in their mouth, but kind of have your face to the side as if you're looking at something past them so the breath can waft. What?
Nothing. I'm listening.
All right.
So, question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's, you know, seriously, Jay. So the breath wafts. Now, what if they've got foul breath?
If they have foul breath, we'll say, by the way, well, Subcommander Gleason, you can speak to this.
If they have breath that's just, that stinks, and it's just wretched, or even if it's a little bit funky, like it's stomach acid breath, and they had eggs for breakfast, or...
Can we get that word right around here at some point?
Yes, breakfast.
I'm sorry, excuse me, ma'am, for breakfast. I'll say to them, by the way, your breath is really foul. Do you mind if we give you a simple psychological test?
Most people say, yeah, I do mind, and bug off or whatever. But that tells us something, doesn't it, Subcommander Gleason?
It tells me that they're reluctant to take...
Oh, wait, hold on. Before you... What does...
Yeah, I was going to ask, what psychological test?
Right. It's a psych... It's just a first... Give us a first response. We don't know... We'll say, for instance, duck, you know, mom, foot. And what's your first word to come into your mind?
All right, so that's one of those standard... I've heard those tests, and they've been done in movies. You don't know how to read that.
No, we don't, but here's the thing. Their willingness to take the test...
God, so that says that willingness to take the test means they're not crazy.
Do you mind if I say it? God.
Well, is Bud right?
Yes, he's right. If they're willing to take the test, then we say, never mind.
Yeah, we'll say never mind, because obviously if you're willing to take the test, then you don't think you're nuts.
Well, most people that are nuts don't think they're nuts.
Say that again?
Yeah, say it again.
Most
people that are nuts don't think they're nuts. That's why they're nuts. You understand?
Yeah, you just spit all over.
I'm sorry, I drooled. Here, General, thank you.
I mean, what's that about?
Forget about whether he drooled or not. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand, Mr. Henry, that when they say, you know, yeah, sure, I'll take the test. And I'm saying, well, they're kind of relaxed about it, you know? And so we may have to retool that.
Yeah, we might have to retool that. But I can tell you from my experience down at the Godzilla Mall, which is in Torrance, the breath, and one lady, as she was talking, and she was saying, well, I don't know, I haven't seen this article, and my nose was kind of, I was parallel to her talking, so it drifted across my nose. And I did it, I involuntarily yelled out. I yelled out.
What do you mean you yelled out?
Here's the,
oh, so you guys have body cam?
We have body cams, we have body recordings. Here's the, when he was talking to this woman, here's what it sounded like on a street there at the mall.
Have you seen this article? Because you see, look at it, you know.
Yes, very interesting. I don't think I've ever read that before.
Oh, God!
I'm sorry.
What happened?
I'm sorry.
No.
So, what was that?
That was me. That her breath did that to me. Her breath did it to me.
We're talking here with...
God, Mr. Aaron, you get this look on your face like, oh, you know, you guys are nuts. You know?
I don't think you're nuts. After all, you're looking to see who's nuts. I think the first problem, if you don't mind, because we are here to...
we're reviewing this. When you say to people, Brigadier Admiral, when you say to people, would you be willing to take this response test to see about your psychological reactions, and they say, sure, why not? You assume they're not crazy. You didn't address Phil's point about most crazy people don't think they're crazy.
Again, the relaxed nature, when they just go, yeah, sure, yeah, I'll tell you. We don't tell them why or anything.
Oh, so you don't?
You don't tell them we're giving you this test because we think you're nuts.
No, we're not going to say I think you're nuts. We say, have you seen this test or have you seen this article about how people with bad breath may have mental illness? And they'll say, oh, wow, really? And that's when you heard Subcommander Gleason react the way he did. And that woman's breath must have been just as rank and as...
it could have peeled off. I was afraid for my eyesight because the breath came across my nose and my eyeballs, and I grabbed my eyes just to protect them.
Well, were your eyes stinging?
I felt, yes, that they were. I think they were stinging. And well, that's a very embarrassing for your for the lady too. What is the point of this embarrassing people? I have to ask.
We're not embarrassed. We're trying to determine who's mentally ill and who isn't. What's the secret?
Well, Jay, that is not a way of doing it. Because someone has bad breath. Here, smell my breath.
Now, Ms. Gray.
No, smell my breath.
God damn,
Margaret. Want to get to the bottom of this. Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 5 cups of coffee. I had a Pall Mall cigarette. I do smoke occasionally. I had garlic toast for breakfast, and I just finished off a salami sandwich. So you get where I'm coming from, right?
All right, so doesn't that tell you? I mean, are you not worried?
I can tell you without any fear of contradiction, I am not quote-unquote mentally ill. I may have my proclivities, as we all do, that some people may think are strange.
Well, I mean, Ms. Gray, more than a few.
Watch it, bud, because one of my proclivities is sending you headfirst through all kinds of different materials. Walls, doors.
All right, Margaret, we get it.
Yeah.
Well, see, right there, your willingness to resort to violence.
My willingness to say I'll resort to violence as opposed to actually resorting to violence, you know.
See, Margaret, you opened your mouth.
I didn't open my mouth. Why don't you do it then?
Why don't I do what?
Why don't you let him smell your breath?
I don't know, General. I, you know.
Okay, smell my breath.
Ha! Oh, knock it off. I'm only kidding. Knock it off.
See, Stannis, you want me to take you seriously, but you won't take me seriously when I say smell my breath to see if I'm nuts.
Right. Did you just hear yourself?
Yeah, see, that's another thing, Mr. Henry, that we...
Subcommander Daly Gleason. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's another thing that we encountered. We'd say to people, I want to smell your breath. And they'd say, why? To find out if you're mentally ill. And they'd say, all I need to know about you is you want to smell my breath. What? And they would walk away crisply and briskly without even any fear of me running up to them and saying, wait a minute, you know.
Well, what are you going to say?
Well, nothing. I mean, but sometimes if we follow them and we have the blue armband and the pith helmet, they feel, wow, I'm maybe walking away from a cop and I better turn around.
Oh, so you harass them?
No, we do. No, hold on.
No,
hold on, Subcommander Gleason. I got this. No, we do not, Mr. Henry. We don't harass nobody. You know that. You know that. From our early days, yes, when we used to follow teenage girls to see what kind of underwear...
Oh, that is one of the most disgusting and dark episodes and chapters in the Citizens Auxiliary Police...
Can't even spit it out, can you?
Let me smell your breath again. Oh, bug off!
Jay Santos, along with Daly Gleason, the subcommander, with him... Talking about an article that appeared in some research that shows that people with gum disease is what we're talking about here.
See, that's the thing. You don't...
Gum disease gives you bad breath. You got gum disease. My aunt had gum disease. God damn.
Yes, it's pretty funky, isn't it?
Yeah, it was funky. Yeah.
All right, so, but somebody having gum... For instance, Margaret said she ate a salami sandwich, had garlic toast, smoked a Pall Mall cigarette, and had about 5 cups of coffee. That gave her bad breath, which you just reacted to, doesn't mean she has gum disease.
What about that?
What?
It doesn't mean she has gum disease.
Look, Jay, what we're saying here, you know, so far, Mr. Henry, General Shaw has been the most equanimous and even-tempered.
Oh, get the big word.
God, man.
So?
Yeah, I know some big words. Has been the most equanimous. Now I forget how to say it. Equanimous has been the most level-headed. The rest of you people are jumping all over me. Jumping all over me like I'm a nude, like I'm a magazine with nude pictures in it or something.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here comes the disrespect. Subcommander Gleason, I want you to remember this day. The way you came to the Phil Henry Studios here in Southern California, and Mr. Henry and his entire crew bent over and spread the cheeks.
Yeah, I will remember that.
Oh, come on, Jay. I'm laughing at the comment about you being a nude magazine. That's about as weird as it gets.
All right, so does that make me crazy?
Well, you know, notice nobody's asked to smell your breath.
No, thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean, no, thank you?
I don't want to smell anybody's breath.
It so happens that I happen to have a very sensitive nose.
All right, so you're one of these people, you smell breath. Smell breath? I mean breath, I'm sorry. God.
Yes, I do. I have a really sensitive nose. I can smell something burning before other people smell it. I can smell a lot of things, and I do smell people's breath. And I will say this. Not everybody has some level of what I call funkitude. You know,
funkitude?
Yeah, that's what I call it, Mr. Henry.
Hold off, Daly. I got this. Funkitude, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody has some level of bad breath. I don't think that anybody walking the... walking the streets of America today, at some time or another during the day, doesn't have bad breath. So, you know, to say you're smelling people's breath.
I'm smelling, according to this article, bad breath, it's a byproduct. You said bad breath again. I'm sorry. Bad breath is a byproduct of gum disease.
But it doesn't necessarily mean you have gum disease.
Right, because the logical conclusion that you're trying to draw, Jay, that bad breath means gum disease, it doesn't. Bad breath is caused by a number of factors. I understand that. The Citizens Auxiliary Police is aware of that. We're very aware of that when we have been interdicting people. We are out this month doing proactive steps to make sure people have their vaccination. We ask to see the vax card. When they say no, you understand that we don't have any right to just say, you know, to do a three-step takedown on somebody. Says, we'll do a three-step takedown. Don't get me wrong.
When do you do that?
If someone tries to muscle us, you know what? We give it right back.
Yeah, we do. We give it back.
Oh, okay.
You giving me some shit about that? You giving me shit about that?
Watch the language.
Sorry. No, I'm not. I'm asking.
All right, so Jay, understanding that you use the three-step take down much more sparingly, when you ask someone for their vax card and they refuse.
And they refuse, we'll say, just flash it out. Just pull out, flash, we'll look and then.
Yeah, sometimes they will, and most of the time they don't.
Yeah, and that's when they walk away, and then we go to option three. We point to our pith helmet as they're walking. They'll look back, and we'll say, see?
And what is that supposed to do, if you don't mind me asking?
I think you understand, General. When we point to the pith helmet, we're saying we have, you know, the... You can perceive that we have the authority.
You could perceive that we have the authority even though we don't have it.
No, we're just saying we're asking in official capacity to see your vax card.
So you're pointing at your pith helmet.
That's exactly correct. And if that fails, we point at the blue armband.
And what if they keep walking?
Then, you know what? That's when we say, you know what? F this. Who needs it? We get in the van. We head back to my house. Jerry and my wife's made lemonade. Oh, we have some soft drinks.
You mean you just give up the ghost?
You just quit for the day, huh?
Say we give up the ghost, but, you know, what's the point?
So if one person turns you down,
I got no end of stuff from you people when we're going through bags, legitimately looking for dirty underwear, not teenagers either, that are grown women. You know, I just said F it.
Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All right, let's get back to the bad breath thing. So, how did you guys do today? What is the end result? Did anybody take the test?
Yeah, a couple people took the test. One man was very suspicious. We asked, would you take our psychological profile? And he looked worried.
Yeah, he looked worried because we said your breath is pretty foul, but it doesn't mean, you know, see, this is what you don't understand. It doesn't mean that you're mentally ill. And he made a joke. He said, how good are you guys upstairs? That's a question I want to know. I said, you know what, sir? We're asking questions, okay, you know, and...
Well, what did that do?
Yeah, how did that back him off?
You better believe it did, because he recognized he was dealing... I pointed to my pith helmet.
I'm sorry, Jay, you cannot hope to think that I'm not going to laugh at that.
All right, this is why I asked Mr. Henry to have you kick out of the studio.
All right, I'm sorry. So what happened? So you asked this guy...
We said, would you take the test? He said, yeah. Sup, Henry Gleason?
Well, I gave this gentleman the test... And it was a series of one-word responses. When I bring up a word, tell me the first thing comes into your mind. Foot. Glasses. I said, hand. He said, eyeball. I said, eyeball. He said, mother.
Right there.
Yeah. I said, mother. He said, eyeball. So from those answers, I determined that he sounded pretty sound of mind.
Why?
You said, why would you say, you let him go?
Yeah, what?
Mother, eyeball? I mean...
Well, look, Brigadier Admiral, you said if they sounded suspicious, These were objects, you know, body parts, hand.
What about mother?
Well, hand, mother. Some guys have a weird relationship with their mothers.
So you guys are not trained.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, Jay. What is the training you're giving to this young man, Sub-Commander Gleason, that would allow him to ask these questions and intelligently interpret them?
Say that again?
He's saying, how do you guys know what these answers mean?
Because the way the man was answering the questions, you told me he was nervous.
Yeah, he was very nervous.
That would indicate that he's, you know, he's mentally ill.
Why? You just said anybody that was relaxed was not mentally ill. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So because he was nervous and he said mother in response to eyeball.
You're starting to laugh. This was the thing.
I can't help it.
Yeah, we can't help it, Jay.
This was the thing, and I said to Bud Dickman.
Yeah, he did, Mr. Eddie.
Well,
wait a minute. He said, if they start to laugh, then I know that they're just laughing at me, and me and Sub-Commander Gleason will graciously make our exit.
And I'm afraid if you're sitting here laughing.
Yeah, well, Jay, it was funny to me when you said.
See, right now you're going, it was funny to me when you said.
Well, he's trying to stifle it.
We are trying to hold it back.
Yeah, I told you, Mr. Santos.
I'm Jay Santos. He's Sub-Commander Gleason.
I'm Sub-Commander Gleason.
I'm sorry. I told you that Mr. Henry would do everything in his power, everything possible in the human sphere of experience, not to laugh.
Yeah, you said that all right, and I believed you primarily because it sounded good.
And you didn't know what it meant. Jay, so it's an interesting article, and to spin this the best way I know how.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, try and spin. I'm telling you, it's a fascinating article. It's something law enforcement needs to take into consideration.
Well, it is a fact. To say that gum disease may indicate mental illness is fascinating. But to say that bad breath is the indicator.
You understand there's a connection.
Yes, I understand there's a connection between gum disease and bad breath, but that is not the only thing, as Ms. Gray.
I told you I'd had salami sandwiches, I'd had garlic toast, coffee, a Pall Mall cigarette. Many days, I push the envelope on just what my breath is going to smell like when I walk in here.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Well, most of the time,
I can't smell at all, Ms. Gray.
Because then I pop a Clorets, you know.
Oh, so you try to push the envelope.
There are days when I want to walk in here with foul breath and make them work through it because I'm so angry.
Good God, Margaret.
Well, I'm sorry, but...
And you wind up...
You wind up chewing a Clorets.
Yes, I wind up chewing a Clorets or a Certs or something like that.
Yeah, I never knew that. I never knew you had to have bad...
You never knew I had bad breath because I don't have bad breath.
But right now, when you breathed it on me... It was bad.
Yes, that's exactly right. I knew you were coming on the show. I knew what it was you were going to talk about, and I wouldn't miss it for the world.
So you purposely made...
You purposely made your breath stink so we'd think you're nuts.
Actually, I purposely made my breath stink to confirm that you two guys are nuts.
What?
I don't understand. That's it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Jay.
You're not the host of this show.
Well, we do have to move on, Jay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sub-Commander Gleason. Great meeting you.
That was great meeting. Do you want any more information? I've taken notes.
We have a lot of notes on the kids. One lady, she had breath like she ate from a kid's diaper. You know?
Oh God, are you kidding me?
No. And I said, you know, would you mind taking the test? And she goes, not at all. And I said, okay. But she said, why? I said, because your breath just takes it to another level. And she goes, well, on second thought, no, because you're insulting me. You think I'm nuts because my breath stink? And I said, yeah, it's worth checking out or testing out. And she said, I got a hold of bad fish. And I'm like, well, you know.
Did you let her go? You didn't follow her or anything, pointing to your helmet.
Forget it.
Jay, thank you for coming in.
All right, Mr. Jerry. Thank you, Ms. Gray.
Thank you, Jay.
And Bud.
Thank you.
You're not going to shake my hand.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. It was nice meeting you people.
Sub-Commander Gleason, great to meet you, sir. Thank you. Jay Santos and Sub-Commander Daley Gleason from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We got Steve Bozell coming up next. He's changed.
Steve Bozell has changed his stage name for his comedy act to, what is it, Bud?
It's changed it to Jet Del Dono.
What is it?
Jet
Del Dono.
All right, we'll find out about that when we come back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
The World Famous Phil Hendry Show encourages you to get a subscription to the website and access 45,000 plus hours of some of the greatest material ever heard. Excuse me, I'm having a hard time breathing. The World Famous, thank you. The World Famous Phil Hendry Show gives you access to 45,000 plus hours of the greatest radio and digital entertainment the world has ever known. Get yourself a subscription at philhendryshow.com. Lower your blood pressure, improve your mental health, even if you've got bad breath.
Yeah.
philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Subscribe today.
Oh, isn't this festive?
Welcome back to the show.
This is Christmas, 2 days before Christmas, and Phil's playing Halloween music.
I don't know. This is just came up in rotation, bud. What is it?
It's a story of Twin. It's called Twin Guns. The name of the name of the band.
Oh, not this is Johnny's Dead. Oh, this is that Johnny's Dead song. Anyway, welcome to our show. Welcome back to the show. Steve Bozell joins us from the CK Corona Middle School Fair. So you guys, Steve, it doesn't sound like you've been. It doesn't sound, at least from what we're hearing, that you've been shut down or there's any problem with the COVID virus out there at the fair?
No, not right now. And we're hoping that we don't have to have no, COVID protocols put in place. Everybody's wearing a mask. I've been vaxxed. April has. The kids are going to get the new vax soon that's being made available to kids. And the CK Corona Carnival, yeah, we didn't have it last year. And it's one of the big money raisers for our men's club as well as for the different functions for the school.
Steve, so the big news here is that you've changed your stage name.
Yes, I have. And hold on for just a minute. April, take the kids over to the Whirly Bird or whatever it is, okay? Because I'm going to be talking on the Phil Hendry Show. On the Phil Hendry Show.
Who?
Phil, you know who he is. I'm only kidding.
Hey, Mr. Hendry.
Hi, April.
Yeah, take the kids over there. I'm going to try to win a teddy bear here. And so,
You're on the air with us right now, Mr. Bozell.
Yes, General, I get that. Yeah, I made the announcement on Twitter, Mr. Hendry, after much thought, because as you know, I have been stuck every year when we have the carnival. I'm going to be playing the kitty corral again. They promised that they'd put me on the main stage of the men's club, the comedy theater.
So this is at the festival right now.
Yeah, it's going to be happening on Sunday night, the day after Christmas. We'll have the big comedy show, and I'm still stuck, you know. So they told me that I had to lose the kid jokes, which I did. And then they said that my name, Steve Bozell, everybody thinks of the construction company, and they can't focus on my comedy. They're focusing on whether they want to put in a new kitchen floor, you know.
Oh, give me a break. It sounded to me like they're giving you a story, Steve.
Well, you know, what do you mean, give me a story?
What do you mean, they're concentrating? People can't concentrate on your jokes. They're thinking about you putting in a new kitchen floor?
Yeah, I mean, we do damn good work. So I said, and I was talking to Lips Jeffcoat.
The guy's name is Lips?
Yeah, I mean, he's the president of the men's club. I don't know his nickname. But he said, why don't you try getting a stage name? Because, for instance, Roy Hutchins, who you know, Mr. Hendry, and...
Yeah, I don't know him, but I know you've brought him up on the show many times.
Well, Roy Hutchins does impressions, and he does, like, bird calls and stuff. His stage name is Reed Watson. And I thought that sounded pretty slick. And
wait. Roy Hutchins is on stage doing bird calls, and his name is Reed Watson.
Yeah? I mean, I'm not stuttering over here.
Oh, I know that. I just want to make sure. This is very unusual. I didn't know that Roy Hutchins pined away to be an entertainer.
Well, he's not. I mean, he stinks, and everybody knows he stinks, but he's up there doing impressions. I do a real comedy act. I do a lot of jokes, and, you know, they still won't let me on the main stage.
Yeah, but they're not going to let you on the main stage because you said you're doing rotten kid jokes and stuff.
I'm doing fart and burp jokes because that's what makes kids laugh. But I told Lips, I said, you give me 15 minutes on the adult stage, and I will crush it, man. And he said, well, what about your name? I said, what do you mean, what about me? He said, why don't you get a stage name? And I did. And so I'm going to play the main stage on Sunday night.
You're going to be allowed to play the main stage on Sunday night because you took a stage name?
Yeah, and I think I told Dickman, or Ms. Gray, that it is Jet Del Donna.
Jet Del Donna. Now, how did you arrive at this name? There is a story there.
Yeah, there's story there. My father's name is Dildon, and he had a great sense of humor. He was always talking about, hey, who farted? I think it was the cat, that kind of thing. So he was always, you know.
Yeah, that's a riot.
Hey, you know something, General? I think I have the floor right now.
General.
Yes, sir.
So my father had a great sense of humor because he would say, oh, who farted? I think it was the cat. Or no, he didn't say it like my sister would say, who farted? And my dad would go, or no, my sister would say, hey, Dad, you farted. He'd go, no, it was the cat. That used to crack me up. So,
Dad, it's pretty funny.
That's some grade A stuff there. All right, go ahead, Steve.
All right, so, you know, to know my father was to love him.
I believe you, buddy, so go ahead.
All right, so his name was Dildon, and...
Now, this is the same father that your mother called Deldo, because she was a... You said she was a castrating, ball-busting...
Yeah, and I'm not talking about that castrating bitch.
God, you got a bad relationship with your mother.
I loved my mother as far as it went. Can I get on with it?
Go ahead. So your father's name was Dildon, and you called your... That's the last name?
I called what?
You took his last name.
Yes, I took his last name, Dildon, and I added an A because Lips told me...
Now, who is Lips again?
Mr. Henry, can I...
General, come on, man.
Sorry.
Lips Jeffcoat, he's the head of the men's club. So Lips said to me, we need a slick, sleek... streamlined last name. So I said Dildon, and he said, no, you need to kind of make it more just kind of, yeah, like you're just gliding along, like your hair is whipping in the breeze and you're in a convertible. I said, how about Dildona? He goes, that's it right there. And I said, I'm thinking for my first name, the first name I wanted to have was Flint Dildona. He said, no, it Flint sounds like, you know, the car just blew up. I said, how about Jet? He goes, yeah. I'll never forget, he sat there and he just went, yeah, that's it. So
you're Jet Dildona when you're on the comedy stage.
Yeah, and on Sunday night, I'm going to hear Lips Jeffcoat or whoever the announcer is that night. Maybe it'll be Goose Gimble, I don't know. But they'll say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, let you welcome on someone that we've heard and have enjoyed, oh, except his name was Steve Bozell back then. Well, maybe they won't introduce me that way.
He wouldn't introduce you like that. Just say, now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from a guy that we think you're going to really enjoy, Jet Dildona. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That sounds...
Well, how do you want it to sound?
I think it'd be like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from a very funny man, and he has been working this comedy show for many a year, and I think you're going to enjoy him, Jet Dildona. And I'd like him, or just more like Jet Dildona, you know, like the guy, like Michael Buffer does.
Let's get ready to rumble, guy.
Yeah, like that.
Well, it's not a wrestling match, but I understand what you're saying, Steve. So you want this guy to bring you out as Jet Dildona.
Yeah, there's the laughing. There's the laughing.
Steve, I'll be honest with you. I don't think there was any need. I don't care what Lips Jeffcoat said, or whatever this man's, there's no need to change your name. There was no need to do any of that. People know you at that school. They know you at that men's club. And they know that you're a good man and you've got your children there. You don't need to change your name because somebody wants to laugh at you.
What do you mean to laugh at me?
That's why they had you do it. Because they want to see Steve Bozell get up there and call himself Jet Dildona.
Margaret's got a point.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? Yeah, I think they just want to, like Hutchins, you know. He calls himself what?
Hutchins calls himself Reed Burson. I forget what he calls himself.
Yeah, see, that name sounds cool.
Oh, right. And Jet Dildona doesn't?
No, I think they made you take a name that sounds stupid, you know, like you're almost... You're not... It doesn't sound like... I don't want to say gay.
Yeah, knock that off.
No, I mean, I'm just saying it sounds like you're going, let's get in a supercar and fly off into space or something.
What the hell are you people trying to get at?
Look, what we're saying to you, Steve, is that whoever told you to change your stage name probably did it as a gag, and you went for it.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. If I find out that's true, I'm going to start throwing bodies out the front door.
Hey, Steve. Steve. Bud.
What do you want me to do? Hey, Mr. Bozell.
I'm fine.
Hey, man, don't ever say you're going to start throwing bodies out the front of the door or whatever the hell you said.
I said throwing bodies out the door.
Yeah, don't say that and then walk away from the phone going, ah.
like you just did.
I'm just screwing around. I'm trying it out for the act.
Oh, okay, Jet. That was pretty funny.
It was to be.
I guess now that I think about it, it was pretty funny. Oh, that's real funny. I'm going to start throwing bodies out the door. Ah!
Yeah, that's pretty much... I think I'll open with that. And now, Jet Del Donna, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to start throwing bodies out the front door of this place. Ah! Ah! Ah!
I'm going to start throwing my own body out the front door of this place.
No, he's just doing his... He's just kidding.
Well, he ain't funny. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Bozell. We ought to go out and watch his act on Sunday night. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I can't wait for him to come out there and say, "Hi, I'm Jet Del Donna, and I'm going to start throwing bodies out the front door."
It is pretty funny.
Now that you mention it, yeah. Yeah! Summer sounds.
All right, General. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry. For CFRA Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
We'll be at the Men's Club Comedy Show Sunday night there at CK Corona Middle School to see Steve's opening set. Oh, excuse me, Jet's. Jet Del Donna's opening set.
You guys think that's funny, huh? Yeah.